I have good news for you. Our tech attorney, Rich Honan, is back. He pays us a visit this morning with some thoughts on headlines from the business world, and he is here to help us sort out all kinds of interesting topics. We'll talk about those in just a moment. Rich Honan is with Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is the partner in charge of the Albany office. And Rich, it's always a pleasure to have you here and to have you back.
Pleasure to be
on
here.
On the program. All right.
Pleasure to be here.
Usually we get in a dust up about something good. And today you want to talk about net neutrality, a very sexy topic.
Yes.
And as you and Rich, you know, being the legal whiz that he is and very persuasive, in his email to me said it's boring but necessary.
It is a boring but necessary subject.
But if anyone can make it not boring, it's you. Well, if anyone can explain this to us in wonderful layman's terms, I trust you, my friend.
Well, first of all, this only matters to you if you ever use the internet at any point in the day or at any point in your life.
So that's 99% of us.
Right.
Okay.
So the internet was supposed to be free. Okay, let's start with that.
Yes.
And net neutrality was
the worldwide.
Yes, the World Wide Web.
Right.
And net neutrality means basically that an internet service provider has to offer the same service at the same price to all of the people who want to display content over the internet. So your internet service provider, if you live here, is say Time Warner. Perhaps soon to be Comcast. If you're in Florida, it's Bright House. Maybe you use Verizon. But, you know, the folks who deliver to the last mile, who deliver the internet right to your desk. And they are supposed to, by order of the FCC, under the doctrine of net neutrality, not discriminate against among everybody who wants to put something on the internet, and which makes a lot of sense. And the ACLU is in favor of that. And so I figured you guys would be too.
So all data on the internet should be treated equal, not discriminating or charging differentially
right.
by user, content, site, platform, application, or type of attached equipment.
Right. There you go. And this was in the earlier days of the internet, and it made a lot of sense. And to all of us, even you and I, wherever we sit on whatever at end of the political spectrum, that sounds like it makes sense, and it does. The problem is, and by the way, you can't degrade somebody else's signal, and you can't have a fast lane and a slow lane, and charge different things for it. The problem is now you have delivery of signals that are really big and take up a lot of the pipe coming into your house. And the best example is Netflix.
Yeah.
And so Netflix, which great service. I now use it because my son gave me a Blu-ray, so I actually use it to watch Family Guy with my kids.
Okay.
Not
House of Cards? You're not a House of Cards
I'm
guy?
Not a House of Cards guy.
Oh, you got to get in a House of Cards.
You know why?
Cards.
Because no matter what they say, it can't be any more than real life. And you know, the real life of House of Cards, I feel it is... which unfortunately we have to deal with every day, I think, is except that everybody on House of Cards looks better. Anyway.
They don't act as good as Kevin Spacey.
That is true. That is true.
But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So the problem is while...
Orange is the New Black. Try that one, too.
I'll try that. Right. I've heard that one, too. So while my kids and I are watching Family Guy and, you know, you're watching House of Cards and other people are watching other things, it turns out that Netflix is about 30%. Netflix takes up about 30% of the internet on any given day.
Yeah.
And apparently more during peak periods.
For the bandwidth that it takes to have everybody watching these shows at their leisure.
Right. And that's a lot, you know, and that's an issue. And so the FCC was trying to take the position that, you know, you can't charge Netflix any more than anybody else. And, you know, there's no fast lane, no slow lane. And about a month ago, I want to say January 14th, the FCC actually lost a decision in court in a case brought by Verizon. And the court, the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is only interesting because it's the Court of Appeals that sits in Washington, D.C., and it is the court that... to which appeals of lots of federal administrative decisions go. And it's also the court that made Harry Reid change the rules of the Senate to get rid of the 60 vote because that's where they were having trouble filling people for that court. So an important court. It basically overturned net neutrality. It said the FCC does not have the right to make that the law of the land anymore. And it was on technical grounds that basically said the FCC has already decided that internet service providers are different from common carriers. So while the FCC is allowed to do things to telephone companies, it has decided we're not going to apply the same rules to internet service providers, and that's why they lost. And so now, the interesting thing was, so
now, from January 14th to now,
right?
So if you're Netflix, and then you're the biggest provider of cable,
right?
Comcast, you say, oh, what can we do now?
Yeah, and you would think this would set up a big fight between Netflix and Comcast, right? Because Comcast says, listen, Netflix, if you want to get from your door to your customer's door, it's going to cost you. And very quietly and very quickly, I won't say it's very quickly because there's indications that they'd been talking about this for some amount of time.
But considering the decision
of the
court just last month,
yes.
That's pretty quick.
It is pretty quick, although to be fair, the conversations had been going on. I'm sure this spurred them. Netflix and Comcast did a deal. And it's kind of shadowy what the deal is, but they basically did a direct deal where now a content provider, Netflix, is paying money, apparently, or some consideration to an internet service provider, Comcast. And this was always kind of the wall that people did not want to be breached.
Right.
Because you shouldn't have to pay to play on the internet.
Now, the way it is being spun for the general consumer is that the deal will ultimately get the product to you faster, and it will ease streaming so that when we are watching the programs, whatever it may be,
right,
it will not be interrupted. It will be very fast. It will be very quick. And that is the benefit of being both a Comcast customer and a Netflix subscriber.
That is correct. And we use the pejorative term spin, but I think that's a correct statement. The idea is, okay, so we've now, it's going to be cheaper to the consumer, it's going to be a better product to the consumer, and you would think I, as the corporate guy, would be all over that. And I think it's good so far as it goes. The problem is going to be when Comcast completes its Time Warner deal. Comcast is trying to buy Time Warner.
Right.
If that happens, and by the way, Netflix now has no reason to lodge any objections to that deal, which it might have had reasons to lodge objections before, right? So
yes.
Netflix could have said, look, we're already having trouble with Time Warner. We're having trouble with Comcast. They're among the slower of our providers. Netflix does a list, on its blog of who are the faster and slower providers. And so it presumably might have lodged objections to the deal, which we presumably will not see now. But when we do that deal, suddenly the content provider that provides 30% of the internet is going to get together with the internet service provider that provides internet to 60% of the homes in America. And those are really big numbers. And while in the beginning it might cost less money and it might be faster, and it sounds like both of those are true, what's going to happen, when these two behemoths, after this all dies down? What are they going to do after that? Because clearly there's going to be more cost, and clearly somebody's got to bear that.
Okay, so here are some of the questions. First of all, this deal between Time Warner and Comcast is $45 billion.
Yep,
it's a huge deal. Still has to be approved. Obviously, we don't know. We don't know, but we can assume.
Right.
The question. I go back. If you remember the Sirius XM merger, the big issue was monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the issue here too, doesn't it? It has to be the issue whenever we talk about airline mergers. It has to be the issue, and yet it seems like that is usually worked out and they go through.
Yeah, usually sometimes you're right. And again, this is where you and I, even though we sometimes sit on different ends of the political spectrum, I just think it's a really bad idea. I think monopolies are a really bad idea. Really big companies controlling really big swaths of a market, 60% of the homes.
And but isn't that sort of the way of cable and public utilities anyway?
It has been.
You know, we don't have much choice. I mean, there's some choice, but there isn't much choice.
If you want cable,
then I have to go to the carrier who's in my neighborhood.
Exactly.
You could say, oh, well, okay, you can have Dish. Okay, right. But that's not cable.
Right.
Right, that's different. This is
especially
different
if I want to know what the weather is.
Right, not in your city and not Los Angeles. Right. Right. Okay. So, but it's interesting, and the same could be said about your electric company, your whatever your phone company,
absolutely,
whatever the case may be.
Right.
Okay.
So that's a bad thing. And the scary thing is that the internet is far less regulated, by design. Which sounds like a good idea, but the lack of regulation over the internet has given us the likes of Google and Facebook and the amount of intrusion into our lives, the amount of private surveillance that is going on in our lives is something that you would think wouldn't be countenanced in a regulated environment. But now Google's a behemoth; you can't do anything about that. Can't do anything about Facebook or Twitter. And pretty soon you're not going to be able to do anything about Comcast and Netflix and all the big players. And so one of the spins against this is, okay, so what if there ends up being a fast lane and a slow lane? Does that make sense? On one hand, Netflix will certainly be able to work a deal. But what about, small emerging companies? Are they going to be able to get onto the internet and get access to your house?
Well, let us also not forget that if I'm correct, that Comcast also owns NBC Universal.
Yeah, how is that legal?
Okay.
How is that even close to legal?
So if you have a deal then with Netflix, well, aren't you going to? Isn't films that are produced by Universal, aren't shows that are on NBC, aren't those going to have preferential treatment on a network? Not that we're saying that Comcast purchased Netflix. They did not, but they have an agreement where they really have them, if you will, to say if you want to get into the homes, this is the deal that we have.
Right, and that's the wall between content provision and the internet service provider. Which I don't understand how it is that Comcast and NBC are allowed to be owned in the same boardroom.
Yeah.
And throw GE into that too. For all the antitrust due diligence is supposed to be done before these mergers. It's a very scary thing. It's hard to take a position yet on where the net neutrality debate is going to go. The reason, though, I felt like we had to bring it up is this is an issue. This is going to affect you when you're sitting at home. Because you're right. What's going to happen? And then what's going to happen on the TV side when you start getting fewer and fewer channels on TV, or there's just more and more things on the internet, and Comcast says, well, if you don't like it, you can always just watch Netflix, our partner.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing.
Well, we haven't really mentioned it much because we just want people to turn on the radio. But, kind of screw them, right? But my thing is that you're right. It's all... we said this when Disney bought ABC.
Mm-hmm.
All these things seem to go through, and one sets a precedent for the other, and they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And we become that omnicore, which want one big company that owns everything. And I don't know. It all to me is scary, and the lack of concern and the lack of regulation and an outrage that any of these announcements spark, I find concerning.
It's very concerning, and the only entities who really have the wherewithal to fight these kind of things are, in fact, the huge entities, and they're not going to do that because they're cutting the special deals for themselves. It's a very scary thing, and I think net neutrality is kind of one of the bricks in that wall. I think it's an idea it was promulgated at the beginning of the internet when things were different,
right?
And I understand that, if you're going to run an all-you-can-eat buffet and, the people, the family of 26 is there and the guy of one is there, you're going to have different economics, and so, but the internet is
the
all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well, spends a lot of time in Florida.
Yes.
go on.
The internet is the all you can eat buffet of the future, and I think it's a scary prospect.
And of course, Comcast is a part of this. But how, you know, and how long before the large network, the phone company carriers get in this? Because that's the missing link in telecommunications. Is our cell phone, is our service, and those deals? I mean, we saw it certainly with Apple and AT&T, and then eventually Verizon. And you could see by the case that you mentioned, of Verizon was the one who, you know, jumped on this and said no.
Right.
But how soon before they get involved and they start getting gobbled up, and it really becomes, because everything that we get from our internet service to our phone service to how we listen to the radio, how we watch television, is going to be in the one company's hands.
It's going to be one, and there's indications already that, for example, the FCC is going to reduce requirements on kind of copper wire. Remember in the old days?
Yeah. Phone,
you know, so let's say you say, I want to live kind of off the grid.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, forget Time Warner, forget Comcast. I just want to pick up my phone and not worry that the internet's going to be down. There's now indications the FCC is going to relax the requirements of the Verizons of the world to continue to maintain copper fiber. And instead of having copper wire going into people's houses, they're going to upgrade their wireless and their broadband systems. So everybody is going to be forced onto the web, whether you want to be there or not.
Or whether you can afford to be
there. Right.
Or not.
And if you can't afford it, you know, the government will put you on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, if it's available. I mean, you look. I mean, I live in a rural county where, you know, a good portion of the county doesn't have internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's an interesting issue.
It is. And it's a scary thing. But it's getting, you're right, it's getting bigger and nobody's watching it.
Well, that was a perfectly nice way of spending 20 minutes, I think. That was great. That wasn't boring at all, sir.
Well, now we know.
That was lovely. Rich Honan is a partner in Phillips Lytle LLP, where he is partner in charge of the Albany office. For more information on the firm, you can visit their website, PhillipsLytle.com. Rich, you're the best. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks. We'll see you then.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.